Get ready to pay for triennial aircraft registration renewals. Garmin introduces ESP, and a freak accident claims the lives of two skydivers. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, July 22, 2010. The FAA has finalized a plan to require re-registration of all civil aircraft in the U.S. over the next 3 years, with renewal every 3 years after that. The FAA says the move will create a more accurate aircraft registration database, a cause which has been frustrated by owners not being diligent in reporting changes. The rule establishes specific expiration dates over a three-year period for all aircraft registered before October 1st of this year, and requires re-registration of those aircraft according to a specific schedule. All registrations issued on or after October 1st will be good for 3 years with the expiration date clearly shown. And, of course, there will be a fee. Right now it's set at $5, but forthcoming FAA reauthorization is expected to allow the agency to raise those fees substantially. Projected fees would rise from $5 for registration to $130, a jump of 2,500%, and triennial renewals to $45 from the current cap of $5. The proposed increases come with language that would only allow the FAA to charge enough to cover the expenses of administering registrations. But this is not some company with incentives for cost control. If the real problem is owners forgetting to update the FAA on changes, you have to wonder whether required periodic renewals with cancellation of the registration as a result of noncompliance will accomplish anything beyond having N numbers canceled on a bunch of aircraft still flying, or a number being reissued and appearing on two aircraft at the same time, or simply providing another enforcement opportunity. If it's been years since you could see through that little yellowed plastic pouch, you might want to pull that paper out and see what it says. Hopefully the administration costs being paid out of the new fees will at least include a reminder card. Get details, including when your renewal is now due, based on when it was issued, in the text version of this story, dated July 21st, at aero-news.net. Garmin has announced the development of something it calls ESP, for Electronic Stability and Protection. Marketing VP Gary Kelly observes, quote, "Until today, this type of stability augmentation system has only been available on fly-by-wire aircraft that cost millions of dollars," unquote. In aircraft equipped with the system, the pilot will feel what's described as a gentle nudge on the controls back towards stable flight whenever pitch, roll, or high-speed deviations exceed the recommended limits. For example, if you're approaching VNE, ESP will increase the aircraft's pitch angle to avoid breaking the limit and knows enough to do it gently to avoid exceeding G limits. ESP will then disengage when the aircraft returns to normal flight. This is significantly different from Avadyne's recently introduced envelope protection, because Garmin's system functions independently of the autopilot. It does, however, share the same servos. Garmin says ESP will be available on the G1000 and G3000, and will first be offered in King Air 200s retrofitted with the 1000. Expected list price is about $18,000. Two skydivers, both with hundreds of jumps to their credit, died last weekend in what's described as a freak accident. 70-year-old Teddy Wilson and 75-year-old George Flynn bailed out in a group of 20 skydivers at 13,500 feet over the Poconos near East Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania, Saturday. After free-falling for about a minute, they opened their chutes. The New York Daily News reports that about 100 feet above the ground, the two close friends slammed into each other and their chutes became entangled. They both fell to the ground, suffering fatal injuries. Wilson had been skydiving since age 60. And had recorded 545 jumps over the past decade. Flynn had 1,500 jumps to his credit. The accident occurred on Wilson's third jump of the day. Up next on ANN, Boeing will turn the DA-42 into a UAV. 10 megabit broadband comes to BizJets. And Purdue University celebrates the completion of its training fleet. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher-performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3000. 3220.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for July 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing announced Tuesday at Farnborough it has signed a Memorandum of Understanding with Aeronautics Limited to market an MALE, that's Medium Altitude Long Endurance, unmanned aircraft system based on the Diamond DA-42. Chris Chadwick, president of Boeing Military Aircraft, explained, quote, "By collaborating with Aeronautics to market the DA-42 Dominator, Boeing is able to offer a wider range of MALE solutions to current and potential customers, both domestically and internationally," unquote. The craft is designed for ISR missions, that's intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. Boeing says its all-composite construction provides durability, reduced maintenance, and lower aircraft weight to enhance mission endurance. Innotech Aviation of Montreal has received an STC from Transport Canada for its IQ broadband network installation on the Bombardier Global Express series of biz jets. The system allows worldwide data and voice connectivity with speeds reaching 10 megabits per second. IQ allows simultaneous access to video conferencing, live TV, on-demand movies, VoIP, and the Internet. In conjunction with Viasat of Carlsbad, California, the system uses Ku-band satellite networks to provide worldwide coverage. The installation takes about 10 days and adds about 80 pounds to the aircraft. Innotech has picked a cute name, so take note if you're Googling it. It's pronounced IQ, but it's spelled I-KU, as in Ku-band. Purdue University's Aviation Technology Program is completing the $5 million purchase of a fleet of 16 new Cirrus aircraft and will mark the occasion with a ceremony at AirVenture next week. The media event will happen at 1 p.m. Thursday, July 29th. Officials will simulate taking delivery using a representative aircraft. Purdue provides hands-on experience for students enrolled in the Supervised Flight Instruction Program. The Cirrus fleet replaces an older collection of Pipers. The purchase comes as Purdue approaches the 50th anniversary of its flight degree program, which includes primary flight instruction, advanced aircraft, and large airline-type simulation instruction. With the recent purchase of an Embraer Phenom 100, Purdue says it now offers the only non-military university flight training program in which every student flies a jet. Still ahead, here's some free how-to help with airplane wiring. Canada will study turbulence and emissions at altitude. And Russia's new spaceport plan demands a comparison. You're listening to Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin Wass GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, July 22nd. I'm Paul Plack. Vertical Power says it's making available a free 12-page paper, Top 10 Aircraft Wiring Mistakes, written for home builders who want to avoid making those mistakes while building their planes. Company President Mark Ausman observes, quote, "There seems to be common topics about which builders have lots of questions. We've tried to address those questions in a short and easy-to-read paper," unquote. The paper covers both traditional wiring and Vertical Power's system. Among the topics addressed are how a basic electrical system works, how to get started wiring your aircraft, common wiring mistakes, proper tool selection, and different types of contacts and how to wire them. Get more info at verticalpower.com. The National Research Council Canada Institute for Aerospace Research has added a new high-altitude atmospheric research capability to its flight research lab in Ottawa. That capability comes by way of integrating air quality and wake vortex test equipment into a vintage T-33 military jet trainer. The plane is capable of 500 knots, plus 7 and minus 3 Gs, and has had pressurized, temperature-controlled canisters mounted under each wing to allow the installation of 19-inch rack-mountable equipment. Each canister has an integrated health monitoring system and can carry about 100 pounds. The special plane will allow NRC researchers and collaborators to study turbulence and aircraft emissions at altitudes up to 40,000 feet, an area of increasing interest as the aerospace industry works to green its operations. And finally today, in the U.S., commercial spaceports are seen as part of the answer to avoiding paying the Russians to carry our astronauts into space. But Russia has been paying Kazakhstan about $115 million a year in rent for use of the Baikonur Cosmodrome ever since the Soviet Union broke up and wants to end that expense. So Russia is budgeting the equivalent of $790 million U.S. to start work on the Vostochny Cosmodrome, which it says will be for civilian launches. Vostochny translates roughly to Eastern Port and is located on the East Coast, on the Sea of Japan, in the city of Wrangel. The spaceport is expected to anchor a technology boom in the area. Fox News quotes Russian Prime Minister Vladimir Putin in reporting the money would be spent over the next 3 years to get construction underway. Various sources estimate a grand opening in 2018 with an eventual total cost of $13.5 billion. The facility will occupy a dedicated area about 30 kilometers in diameter. By way of comparison, that means the Russians plan to operate a spaceport with 7 launch pads in a circle only 2/3 the diameter of the airspace the U.S. clears of friendly aircraft when our president visits a city on the ground. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, some things you should know about the new 3-hour tarmac stranding rule and how the airlines are handling it, from Kate Hanai of FlyersRights.org. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.